Morning, church. Welcome to those of you on our online fam, Baghdad, that is you. We are so glad that you are gathering this morning and that you are creating community right where you are. Paulden, that's you. Your community is rallied around breakfast, so hope you enjoyed and got to partake today. There's a couple of people I noticed. There's a lady online named Barbie, like, how do you not shout out Barbie, right, in Ash Fork? And then Frank and Loma Linda, we're just super excited that you are with us and we get to do this. Can we just say hi to all of our online fam today? And then welcome to you who are in the room. And I get it, right? Like, to come to a space where you don't even know if you're going to get a seat at this service. By the way, we do have other services that have seats, just so you guys know. Same teacher, same band, like everything's the same. So just so you guys are aware of that. But also along with that, though, like there's a factor of showing up to a church and putting yourself in a crowd of people and you not even knowing what you think about this, right? Like, you're still processing what karaoke was, right? Like, we just went through, no, karaoke didn't land. Okay, fine. We'll carry on. Thanks for leaving me just dead up here. You guys are great. But you're still processing what just happened. And now you're processing, like, am I going to stay? Because it took an amazing act of courage for you to just get through the doors. Right, like courage is a synonym for faith, and one of the things that we build kind of this on is a belief that you were created by God. That requires courage to accept. That not only did God create you, but the same God showed up on the planet in the form of Jesus to go to a cross to show you how much he loves you. That takes a level of courage to go, I'm going to trust that God. And then on top of that, for God to show up, pay the penalty for your sins, create a way for you to have a relationship with God, and then on top of that, for him to put his Holy Spirit inside of you when you step in by courage, here's what it does in my world, is it allows me to have confidence that right here, right now, one, you're not here by chance. There's a God who is in control of much more than you think. Two, that God wants to speak to you this morning. Right? He wants a personal conversation with you. That's the confidence of what this is. If you're here and you're going, okay, wow us, we're not going to wow you. It's not going to happen because that's not what this is about. What this is about is trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to take whatever we talk about and he is going to translate it to you because you need a personal moment with Almighty God today in the midst of everyone else going, I need that too. And so I got a question for you kind of as we start, one to let God begin to kind of personally apply in your life. What is God asking you to have courage with today? What is God asking you to have courage? And if you put courage in the category of, if I ask the question, what is God asking you to have faith, right? That's such a lofty, big, like, I have faith in God, right? Like I can, that's such a big conversation that's not really measurable. But courage is measurable. Courage is an action. Courage is a step I take forward. And so for you, as the Holy Spirit is present, as the Holy Spirit is speaking, whether that's here in the room or it's across screens, into a living room in Baghdad a school in Baghdad and a living room in Paulden and wherever else there's a screen, we have the same question. What is God calling you to live by courage? Why courage? Because we're told to live by faith, not by sight. You're called to live by faith. This life is supposed to be lived by steps of courage, steps of faith. So what is God calling you? I'll give you an example from my life. I got one of my babies who is a freshman this year. Yeah, you guys get it. You guys get it. You know the courage to take my freshman and put her in public school? Right? There's easier ways, right? But to take my freshman and go, no, you are called to be the what? Light. You're called to be the light. You're called into, right? Like, I'm not throwing shade. This is just our journey. This is what God's convinced us of. That the place that my baby needs to be is in amongst her peers, right? And that in amongst her peers, I understand. I hear the stories. I hear the conversations that surround her every day. I understand that it's not an easy space to be, right? But for us, it takes courage of faith. I drop her off every Thursday and Friday, and I watch these. By the way, what is the deal with the small backpacks? Like we're talking like football players with a tiny like Hello Kitty backpack. I don't know what that's about. So needless to say, I have to have courage. I see the football player with his little backpack. But that's just what God's calling me to in this season. To not shy away, to walk by faith and not by sight, because sight is everything around, right? We're not called to that. And so what is God calling you to? Because it's a personal conversation between you. If you're here and you don't have a conversation with God about what he's calling you to by faith, then this doesn't matter. Let's be honest. But he wants to talk to you. And so we're in a collection. It's in the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible. We're in a collection called Snapshots. And Snapshots is just this. Could we grab these quick photos, right? Like your Polaroid. You snap your Polaroid and you never knew what you were going to get. And now they've come back around and they're cool again. And so you're still doing it, right? But you just don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if it's a good picture or not, but you snapped the moment. You captured the moment. And that's all we're doing through Exodus, just capturing these moments. And hopefully by the end, there's a collage, right? And when we look at the collage of what we have in pictures from walking through this story, what we go is, wow, what a God. It paints a picture of him, right? Like, what a God. That's a God I can put my faith in. And that's the hope of kind of as we walk through this collection. And so last week, if you were here, we talked about a guy named Moses. And we're going to continue to talk about Moses and in his journey as God led to this Exodus. One of the things that's important to know is what we read about physically is a picture of your spiritual Exodus, right? So when you read this, what it's doing is painting a picture of what's happened to you in a very spiritual sense through the cross and through what Jesus has done and how you've been set free. And so last week we ended on chapter 3, verse 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Okay, so God's speaking to Moses. He goes, hey, here's what's going to happen. You're going to lead these people out. Right before this, two verses before, he says, so go. Why? So when you get there, you can tell Pharaoh, let my people go, and you are going to lead my people out. They're going to go, and they're going to worship me. Okay, so we could call that, in Moses' world, God has spoke to him, and his step of courage is that I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell Pharaoh, and what's going to happen is there's a specific outcome that's coming. Right? And that outcome is that this nation of Israel that is under the oppression of the Egyptians, they will be set free and they will worship God. That's the outcome. That's the premise that he is going to the nation of Israel with. Now, in between there, if you were here last week, in between there, what you get, and if not, you should go back and catch up because it all builds on each other, right? But what you get out of this is a very real conversation between God and Moses. And Moses is going, hey, I stutter. I don't think I should be going and talking to the emperor, right? Like, I don't think this is my deal. And over through those conversations, it finally gets to the point where he's like, would you choose somebody else? Like, please send somebody else. And God goes, no, you're my guy. And so what you have is you have this wrestling between this verse and where we pick up. Now in chapter 5, the end of chapter 4, right before the verses we're about to read, Moses shows up and he tells all of the Israelite elders, right? Like he gathers them together and he goes, this is what God's going to do. I'm going to go to Pharaoh. And when I go to Pharaoh, I'm going to go, let my people go. And we're going to walk out, right? Because that's what God said. And we're going to go worship. Chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. So Moses has done what he's supposed to, right? Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I will not let Israel go. If you were here last week, you know one of the fears that was genuine to Moses is that he would show up and he would go, hey, the Lord has told me. And he would get the question, well, what's his name? Who is the Lord? And so his fear that he started this with, even though the outcome's told, his fears are beginning to come true. Verse 3 says, then they said, the God of the Hebrews, so now Moses is telling him, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy, and that is why they are crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lies. So Moses, remember, Moses has an outcome. The outcome is I go to Pharaoh and I tell Pharaoh what's going to happen. And then Pharaoh goes, oh, Moses, that sounds so good. Why don't you just take the whole nation? Just take them all and go worship, right? Like that's the assumption of what's going to happen. I'm going to show up and I'm going to say what God told me to say. And then there's going to be this outcome. The only problem is he shows up and instantly Pharaoh goes, I don't think so. In fact, let me double down with you. We're going to remove the straw that is needed for making these bricks. You're going to have to go collect your own. But we're going to press you a little harder, right? You don't have to be a businessman to get this, right? Like this is pretty much common sense. If you have a quota to meet and your supply is being provided for you and you remove the supply, but you have the same amount of people working, you're not going to meet your quota. It's just not going to happen. Pharaoh knows that. He's oppressing them. He's pressing into. And so within that then, it carries on down to verse 17. Pharaoh said, lazy, that is what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work, you will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized that they were in trouble when they were told. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble. You are not to reduce, when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you each day. When they left Pharaoh, so when the Israelites leave Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hands to kill us. So what's transgressed is, hey, I got an outcome. It's going to be awesome. I show up and speak for God. They're going to let those people go. And Pharaoh doubles down. And then it gets worse. Because now the people that you came to let go, they're looking at you and going, you made life harder, not easier. You showed up and said you were going to make life better, not worse. I wonder how many of us have been given an outcome by God, right? Like God's spoken something to you And you've been given this outcome by God. And he's asking you to step into it with courage, to follow what he showed you. But in the midst of following him, it got harder, not easier. It became more difficult and took a turn that you didn't anticipate. When I was 6 weeks old, my mom, because I don't really remember, but my mom told me I was pretty sick. And at 6 weeks, she started to notice that I couldn't keep any food down. But I hadn't lost weight. I still looked healthy. But she knew something was wrong. So she, over the next 10 days, she took me to the doctors 3 times and kept saying, something is wrong with him. Something is wrong with him. To which the doctor was kind of like, well, everything isn't showing what you're telling us. So let's just wait and see. So she took me home. It was about 2 weeks later. She's changing my diaper and she just begins to cry because of what she's seeing my body is rejecting. And as she's crying, my dad comes in and he's comforting her and asking her, or she just states to him, we're going to lose him. He's going to die. She's like, I know it. To which my dad tells her, I was just praying and God has told me that he is going to be a preacher of the word someday. And so God gives a clear outcome. But from that moment, my mom decided, and this is years ago, and it was in England, you could have the emergency doctor come to your house, right? And so she makes a call to the doctor and says, hey, he's not healthy. Like, you've got to come and see him. And so the doctor says, you know, it was a Sunday. He goes, I got other visits to do, and then I'll get to you at some point. So my dad, there's a good Baptist joke in here that we were there whenever the doors were open, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday evening type thing. So he goes to Sunday evening service. And what's beautiful is Sunday evening service, because of what was going on, they all came to our house. And so now there's an elder praying over me, my dad anointing me with oil, and then the entire church at that time, or who'd ever come along, were all in the living room on their knees praying. And it's at that moment that the emergency doctor shows up and has to walk through all these people praying to get to this baby. He takes one look and instantly, after checking, he goes, we got to get this baby to the hospital. And so the ambulance comes, takes me to the hospital. I end up getting put in an isolated ICU, which what that meant is my mom could put on all the gear, you know, the gowns and gear up, but couldn't touch me, could only observe what was happening. You ever see an outcome promised? What was promised? The outcome was that he will be a what? He's going to be a preacher of the word. But it got worse, not better. It got more difficult, not easier. It took a turn to where now I'm in ICU. And sometimes I think we can get lost in the outcome and miss the process. I think sometimes what we do is we want the outcome and we make the outcome what's important. And God's going, don't miss the process. Here's what I mean. It carries on in verse 22, chapter 5, verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Wait a minute. He knows, right? He knows the outcome. The outcome wasn't to bring trouble. But in the process now, it's got harder and trouble has showed up. And what is he questioning? He's questioning the what? What God had told him. He's questioning the outcome. And I don't know how you live and how that works, but isn't it easy that when it gets difficult, we can start to question what God has told us? Isn't it interesting that we begin to question, did God really? And so Moses carries on verse 23. Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people and all, and you have not rescued your people. You have not done the outcome. You have not rescued your people at all. Chapter 6, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, so now God speaks to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Catch this. As what? God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they have resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. But he goes here's what's happened so far. All of the people of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the heroes of the faith, they knew God as God Almighty, right? Like the name for that is El Shaddai. The translation of that is powerful provider. The way that they knew God is that God was a powerful provider. But God goes, I'm not interested in you knowing me as a powerful provider. What did that mean in their day? That he was powerful enough to make a promise. What was the promise? That I'm going to lead you to a promised land. Right now, and in the midst of slavery, God's going, I'm going to prove to you and show you something else in the midst of the process. Because the process, I believe, matters more than the outcome. Because in the process, what God's doing, when it gets harder, God is trying to show you something you would never seen if you hadn't gone through what you're going through. And what happens in this moment is God goes, hey, you knew me as God Almighty, but now I want you to know me as faithful. Now I want you to know me as the God who is faithful, that what I promised I will bring to happen. Listen, this is so important to your faith. You know why? Because what we are promised is that when we die, we are absent. As believers, absent in the body is what? Present with who? With the Lord. Right? Like we're promised through the cross that there is life beyond the grave with God. We're promised a new heavens and a new earth. But if God's not faithful, you guys, that's not happening. If all of a sudden God's not faithful and you're like, oh, I got a reason to second guess. This is why it's so important that we build our faith on the person that God is in the story that he writes. Why? Because God is the one that's going, you got to see me as faithful. You got to see me as the God that what I say I will do, I will be faithful to make it happen. That's why this is so important, that it's only in the process that God can help you see him for who he is. But you know what we don't like? We don't like it when it gets harder, do we? I don't like it when it gets harder. I want God to tell me what it's going to be, and let's get there. And God goes, but you would miss learning and growing in who I am. Because the process matters. The process is what will grow you into the person that God's calling you to be. And if you short circuit the process, you will miss the God who is faithful. If you short circuit the process, you will never become more like Jesus. I don't know about you guys, like we're told, right? Like one of the goals of this life is that you would be more like Jesus, that I would be more like Jesus. The only problem is I know when I look at me, there's a whole lot that's not like Jesus. So this is going to be a difficult road. He's got to keep chipping away. He's got to chip away at my sin. He's got to chip away at where my will is my will and not his will. He's got to keep working on me. Why? Because he's transforming me. He's told me, Romans 8, he's going to transform me into the person of Jesus. That's what's happening. And he's going to be faithful because he's God. He's going to be faithful to bring that transformation no matter how painful it is. Why? Because it is more vital that you become the person you were created to be instead of the person that has the easy way and thinks you get to the outcome that you want. God's going, no, 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 there's a different outcome, but to get there, you got to go through the process. There's no shortcuts. I love how this carries on because listen who's doing it, by the way. Listen who's doing it. So God's proving he's faithful, right? Chapter 6, verse 6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. I am the one who is faithful. I'm going to do it. How many times is Moses' name in there? How many times do we see an outcome and go, I'm going to help God out? And God's like, I don't need your help, champ. God goes, I need you to see me for who I am because that'll transform your life. Moses reported to the Israelites. So Moses takes this like, God's going to do it. And he goes to the Israelites and he's all pumped up because he went to church that day. But they did not, listen to this, they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Wait, they did not listen. Why? Because of the harsh labor. Remember, what had they been told? The outcome is you go tell Pharaoh and we all march along singing, right? But what's happened is the labors got harsh. And so what the outcome is that they stop listening. I wonder how many times we stop listening to the Holy Spirit. We stop listening to God because it just got hard along the way. And there's a word in here, you guys. Because of their discouragement. Because of their discouragement. Wait, wait, wait. They stopped listening because it was hard, but it was a lack of courage. The original in this word is amazing, right? Like I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's kotsar rua, right? Like that's the original. Why does it matter? Because kotsar is shortness. And what is rua? If you've been around church, you probably heard it. It's often translated spirit. It's often translated the breath of God. What do they have? They have a shortness of what? The life source they've been given. Right? We get it. Discouragement feels like my spirit got crushed, right? What this is doing is putting language to what that looks like, that there is a shortness of spirit. How does that translate? That in the midst of whatever you're going through, whatever happens, there is often this shortness inside of me of what? Of spirit. Now, bring this, because the physical picture is always a picture of what? Our spiritual journey. Go to the spiritual journey. What's been put inside of you by the person of Jesus, by his rescue of you? The Holy Spirit. What does discouragement look like when you know I should walk by faith and God's asking me to step in by courage and I can't step in by courage? Why is that? Because along the way, there has been a shortness of what? The Holy Spirit leading you and you leading you. There's a shortness of me resting in the Holy Spirit. And what happens is I become discouraged. I lack courage to step in. The gift that you've been given to have power to do the things that God's called you to do, when you have a shortness of spirit, you'll always lack courage. Why? Because you're called to walk by faith. What is the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to empower you to what? Walk by faith, not sight. And then listen what happens when we become discouraged. Verse 10, then the Lord said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips? If you were here last week, what was Moses' concern? I stutter. I can't do this. I can't. God, you know how bad I am with words. And the discouragement of others carries over to who? To Moses. Why? Because we were made to be contagious to one another. Here's what I mean. So then you have the divisions of the people, chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites, and the Egyptians. Catch this. And the Egyptians. So God's going to do all that. Why? And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. You catch what happened right there, right? What did he say the goal was before? That Moses and the Israelites would know him as what? The God who is faithful. What happens in this moment is he now takes the word know, the exact same word, and that word know now connects to who? To all of the Egyptians. What is God doing through Moses and Aaron? He is showing the entire world the God who is faithful. And so what happens in this moment is the faith of Moses and Aaron becomes contagious to everyone around them. Your faith is contagious to everyone around you. That's how God designed this, that when I see you step out by courage, it gives me the courage to step out by courage. But when you lack faith, guess what? It's equally as contagious. Because what happens is when you lack faith, it will affect everybody around you. How do I know that? Last verse, verse 6. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses and Aaron did what? Just as the Lord commanded them. Even though it was hard, what did they do? Step out by courage and do what God told them to. What's the outcome? That the entire known world found what? The God who is faithful. That's what this is about. It's about being faithful in the midst of what you can't see. It's about standing with courage in a space where you don't know the outcome. It's about understanding the process. Why is this gathering so important? Why is it so important that even online in multiple spaces we gather together? Why is it so important? Because your faith is contagious. We were talking about it in our teaching prep this week. And we're talking about how in scripture, Pastor Ben was like, hey, you remember those stories where you see Peter and it's right after the resurrection and right after the disappointment? What do? They go, Peter goes, I'm going fishing. And what happens? I'm going with you. Why? Because it's contagious. But you also have Paul who writes, hey, as I'm living, do likewise. Let me be a model as I follow Christ. Pastor Todd, being the coach that he is, in the same meeting goes, you got to be the thermostat, not the thermometer. You got to set the temperature for people's faith. That's the gift that you have. That when you step out by courage, guess what? The people around you step out by courage, by faith. And they step in. Why is this gathering so important? Because you have the chance in here every single week as we gather to let your faith be an encouragement to those that don't have faith. What do I mean by that? That for some people, just the courage to sit in the room today, we applaud you. But for some of you came in and you're in the process and it's really hard today. Like you're barely hanging on. You're barely like had the courage to come to church, let alone live by faith. And then there's others of you that you're in a time of like, man, I am my faith high, if you like. Man, I've just seen the outcome of God and I'm walking on this solid foundation of his faithfulness. Here's what happens in this room when we worship in song, is you get a chance to take the faith that you have and make it contagious. The song we're about to sing, it's declarative. You're good and I've witnessed it. Has anybody here or online or in one of our locations, has anybody witnessed the goodness of God? Then what you need to do is declare it. I've witnessed it. You're strong. Anybody seen the strength of God show up in their life? A quarter of you compared to last time. That's fine. But you're strong and I've witnessed it. You're constant. What is constant? It's faithful. You said you would do it and you've done it. And I've witnessed it. Anybody witness the faithfulness of God, the consistency of God? You love. And I've witnessed it. Why is it so important? Because for you, you get to declare what I've seen God Almighty do. And that spreads. And the song even catches that. Like, let's go declare it over our cities. Let's go declare it over our homes. Why? Because your faith is contagious. And so if you would stand, we are going to sing together because your faith is contagious.